Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Ladies and gentlemen,
worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 705. Dizzy Holes, Danny, and joining me for this episode, we have Paris in the house.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Another episode of Gamertag Radio. Looking forward to talking about these video games. How you doing, Danny?
Everything's good, man. Finished Cuphead a couple days ago. I'm very excited. Now I'm trying expert mode now, Paris. It is even crazier. So let's see what happens. But today I was streaming on Twitch because I wanted the people to check it out, like the boss. But at the same time, I was trying to be him an expert. And yeah, he is pretty tough.
I almost got to the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you?
No, you know what? I've not been able to play Cuphead since this weekend, just at work and everything. I've been extremely busy. I've just not had the time. And I know that when I start playing Cuphead, I need to dedicate some time. Because I'm gonna die a lot, so I've not had a chance to really dive in. I'm just on World 2, so I got to jump back in.
All right, cool, awesome. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com, and you also could find us on different podcast directories. You know, like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other places. Just make sure to search for us, Gamertag Radio, and if you get the chance to review us on iTunes, that will help us a lot. And share it with your friends, big time. All right. Also, you can watch us live on Twitch every Wednesday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Send us your feedback or questions. Jump. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
There's two things. I know I have a topic that I want to talk about the whole Overwatch controversy that's been going on lately. But I know you also have a controversy about Cuphead, which we've been talking about now for a few minutes. I think we should start with Cuphead because it relates to what we've been talking about the past few minutes and stuff. And I know you wanted to talk about it because you mentioned it. So go for it.
I didn't say I wanted to talk about it.
No.
I'm kidding. Yes.
Wow, you're making me feel like an idiot right here. All right. You're dumb.
No, I mean, it's just, you know, I tweeted about it yesterday. I just saw on social media that there's, I don't even know if I want to call it an uproar, but there's just been this thing of people complaining about the difficulty of Cuphead and also saying that they shouldn't be gating certain levels behind the difficulty. Like, you know, if, like you've talked about it already, if you play in simple mode, there's only certain levels you can get to versus if you play it in the you know, in the harder mode, right? That'll unlock more things and things you can see. Personally, it's a breath of fresh air. See, I obviously we have a lot. I'm old man. I'm in my 40s. So there's obviously a lot of younger people that are playing video games these days, and they don't remember the 1980s when you had Mega Man 1 and you had all the Mario games and you had all these difficult titles that you know, there was no easy mode. It was either you finished it or you didn't. There was no in between. Hell, I remember before we had saves and all that stuff. So Cuphead takes me back to that era of gaming. And what I like about Cuphead is it challenges you to be better. You want to get to those extra levels. You want to see more of this fantastic artwork that they have, hear more of the fantastic music and see all the design and everything they have. You got to get better at the game. It's that simple. You know, you could be like Hip Hop Gamer and use a cheat code and see all of it if you want. And I say that because I love them. But this is, to me, like I said, not every game needs to hold your hand. And it really is up to the developer and how they want to do this. And it's not like the developers did not warn us this is what Cuphead was going to be. They told us it was going to be a difficult, challenging game. So the fact that it's difficult and it's not for everyone is okay. Not every video game is meant to be played by everyone. And that's okay. You know, like I said, I haven't finished Cuphead yet, but I'm not sweating it because I know I'll jump back into it. I'll dedicate time to it. I'll master these levels and eventually I'll get to where Danny is and I'll start talking about doing expert mode and all that kind of stuff. And I think people have gotten so used to having their handheld and having these easy modes in video games that when one comes along that looks awesome and is something you want to experience, but you're simply not good enough yet to get to the end game of it, people are crying foul. I'm not saying it's a bad thing that people are complaining. I just understand that Cuphead isn't meant to be for everyone, and I like that there's an actual difficulty level in it. I mean, that's all. So what do you think?
I think that a lot of the people that are now playing a lot of these games, they're just used to the way how gaming is now, and they're not used to how it used to be back then. Mm-hmm. In the 80s and 90s, very, very difficult. Like, I can mention games, you know, Bionic Commando, Mega Man, even Mario 3, Mario 2 was difficult back then. Ninja Gaiden. Man, I got to the last boss. I couldn't even save. You turn off the Nintendo system and that's it. You have to start from scratch. That's how we used to game back then. A lot of you gamers should be happy that you have a saving system now. Back then, we didn't have none of that stuff, man. You know how cool it is to go play a game and you can save it anytime you want? You know, I was even nervous playing Final Fantasy III back in the days because every time I would save the game, I would save it twice just in case I didn't save the first one. That's how paranoid I was back then because I was so far in the game, I didn't want to lose that, you know? So even back then, I don't even remember this, Paris, but even back then, when we used to play Zelda, the original Zelda for the NES, mm-hmm. that game had a battery inside. Yep. Once that battery is done, that's it. It won't save. And the only way it will save, if you have the game inside the system, as soon as you take it out, that's it. Everything is done. So, yeah, people are just like, they're too used to of gaming now in 2017, man.
Exactly.
That's what it is,
man. And that's what I think it is. Yo, I remember, like, I keep bringing up Mega Man 1. That one's so vivid to me because I actually beat Mega Man 2 before I beat Mega Man 1. That's how hard Mega Man 1 was back in the day. Yo, I remember Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Super Macho Man, freaking impossible. I could not get past it. I think it took me a year to finally beat Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Like, I'll never forget it. The day that I finally beat Mike Tyson, probably one of the greatest days of my life because I earned it. There was no internet back then. There was, you could call up the 1-900 number for Nintendo Power and get some tips. That was about all you could do back then. You know what I mean? So back then there was definitely a lot more sense of satisfaction when you beat these difficult games like that. And like I said, embrace the challenge of it. That's my thing. It's okay for a game to be impossibly hard and difficult and to push you to your absolute limits. You know what I mean? And look, you know, it's obligatory. I got to bring Destiny into it. It's one of the reasons I like Destiny so much, because when you get into those hard mode challenges on the raids and stuff, it pushes you to your gaming limit. And look, even Destiny is nowhere near the difficulty that you're going to get with a game like Cuphead or something. But like even The Witcher 3, when you play that on the hardest difficulty, freaking brutal. Dark Souls, brutal, you know? And it's okay because those games are not meant for everyone. And I think, like I said, the main complaint was that there wasn't a quote unquote easy mode so that you could experience all the levels in Cuphead. But like my opinion, that takes away the beauty of Cuphead if you could just simply waltz through every level and get to the end game. I'd rather have it challenge me and push me. Look, yo, one we didn't even talk about, I know you've mentioned in the past, Danny, freaking Ninja Gaiden, impossible. When I was a kid, impossible. I could never get past that game, you know, and it took me forever to get past Ninja Gaiden. Even Ninja Gaiden 2 was ridiculously hard back in the day. And it's like, I love those challenges as a kid. And look, back then we were poor, so it wasn't like I had a ton of games and I could just flip to the next one. You literally got, what, two, maybe three games a year if you were lucky. You know what I'm saying? When Santa Claus came around, that was about it. So the fact that you had difficult games that took months to complete was actually refreshing and worth it because it kept you occupied with that stuff. And, you know, as a gamer, that's what made me the gamer I am today, were those challenges back then. And like my son, he looks at me play Cuphead. He hasn't actually played it yet. He looks at it and he just says, that looks really hard. So I'm excited for him to actually jump into that challenge and kind of have that experience as well.
I think, too, the reason why gaming has changed throughout the years to have like an easy mode, normal mode, and even hard is because back then it was the hardcore gamers that would play those video games back in the days. Mm-hmm. So then by them adding an easy difficulty and even normal and hard is because they wanted to expand gaming. They want other people to play too, not to be afraid to play gaming. That's what happened. So I think people got really used to that. And now when they play Cuphead, it's like, oh my God, it's impossible. I give up. That's it. It's like, why give up so easily? I spent 2 hours on the final boss. I spent 2 days on the boss before that one. And it just took some time.
Yeah.
And I never gave up. I never gave up.
Yeah, so, exactly. And that's the thing, man. I mean, if this was a first party Microsoft game or PlayStation game or EA or Ubisoft, take your pick of publisher, there would be an easy mode in it for exactly what you were saying, because they're in the business of making money and mass appeal. They want as many people as possible to play their games. Only reason we have Cuphead the way it is right now is because it came from an indie developer. Obviously, Microsoft saw the potential in it and helped them on the publishing end to get it out on the console and obviously out on the PC as well. But if this was an in-house first party Microsoft game, it would not be this difficult. And that's just a fact. It's just, there's no way around that. People can argue it all they want, but look at the track record of video games, you know, since 2000 as an example. Name me one ridiculously impossible hard game that's come from one of these first party publishers. You just don't see it. Like I said, Dark Souls would be like an exception to that. I would even say, you know, back in the day, like when Tecmo was still around with Itagaki was making Ninja Gaiden, the updated Ninja Gaiden, that was nowhere near as hard as what it was back in the 80s or 90s.
But this is difference. Okay, people understand too that there's a difference between like the AI making it impossible to pass a level or making your own mistakes. I see Cuphead as I'm the one making the mistakes instead of the computer punishing me the whole time. Because I know certain things that they're going to do, but maybe I'll jump too early or I'll get nervous and stuff. And that's why I die in the game. It's not because of the AI, the enemies in the game. So, but once I figure it out and I finish it, dude, it's like the best feeling in the world, man.
I'm exactly.
Like,
yes,
I was screaming when I passed the final boss. And there's even other modes that you can unlock that I didn't even know. You could turn the game into black and white. You can change the music, even like vintage style. It's a bunch of other things that I'm like, oh, I'm going to try my best to see if I can do it.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of people got used to it, man. So yeah. Speaking of Overwatch 2, Paris, I was reading that the game director of Overwatch, he was checking out, you know, they have like an Overwatch forums and stuff, and people were saying oh, what's going on with their team, or why they're taking so long, do they even have enough staff developers to update this game and add new modes or fix or whatever. They were just complaining about a lot of things. And he replied to that post saying that it is scary as a developer to even go to the forums or even try to engage on Twitter, Facebook, because he basically said that it's scary for the developers to go online to engage with like the gamers, the fans. It gets too toxic, man. People complain too much, come up with threats and all this stuff, and it's like, how can we are going to go online to engage if we're going to see too much negativity? And at the same time, I agree, it's not great for the developers. The last thing they need is some more stress. They have stress at work, and now they're going to see more stress because of the whole online thing, is the people complaining. Come on. I just wanted to mention that. Paris, what do you think of this thing going on?
It doesn't surprise me at all, because it's the world of social media that we live in now, so that there's this quote-unquote instant access to the people that makes the games, and you can voice your concerns. So you're going to see all this vitriol on Reddit and Twitter and all that. That's why, you know, I'll use Deej as an example, because, you know, got to know him a little bit. And, you know, I shouldn't say I feel for the guy, but it's a thing of, in the position that he's in for such a high profile company and a high profile game, he posts something like, I don't know if you've ever just looked at his Twitter timeline and looked at the replies. It does not matter what he says.
I can tell you which one. He gave us a shout out. Yeah. He just basically gave us a shout out, like, hey, congrats, International Podcast Day. And there was people complaining about Destiny there. And yeah, it has nothing to do with
the tweet that he said. So I don't blame these developers for not wanting to expose themselves to all that, because, you know, they just want to make a great game. And obviously you want feedback because you want to make the game better. But at the same time, it's toxic. It's over the top. And honestly, not to turn this, you know, into anything beyond what it was, because obviously we've seen what happened in Vegas over the weekend, you know, so thoughts and prayers to everyone that was affected by that. And obviously everything that's happened with these hurricanes in Texas, Puerto Rico, etc. But I think we're in the Matrix, personally. I don't think we're in the real world anymore, because it's like, I can't believe the things that I see happen now in today's society. And social media has a lot to do with it. It is the greatest gift and the greatest curse we have ever created, is social media and the internet, because it's brought us all together. But guess what? We've all gotten together, and all we do is yell at each other and say mean things to each other. That's all we do, right? So, you know, bringing it full circle back to this topic, you know, Overwatch obviously is a hugely popular game. You know, millions of people play it every day. But, you know, and it deserves criticism, because everything deserves criticism on a certain level. But come on, it's too much when people that actually make the game can't embrace it with their community and celebrate it, because all they get is complaints and threats and everything that goes along with that.
Yeah, man, it's just it's pretty annoying reading all that stuff, man. You know, so and Paris, we've been to a lot of events. And I love that when the developers engage with us, with the gamers, with the community. I really love that since day one. And it's very very disappointing seeing that, man, that people are still being so negative about that stuff, man.
Yeah.
They're getting an opportunity. Back then, again, guys, back then, we couldn't even engage with any developer back then. In the 80s and 90s. Yo, it was like a dream come true when we were kids back then. Like, oh my God, I could talk to the person that worked on Mario or worked on Castlevania or whatever. Now we have that opportunity now. And I feel like people don't really appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
You
know,
so.
No, I mean, like one thing that I have in my early day, or like the early days of Xbox, I remember emailing Major Nelson asking a question and he would respond. And this was like early 2000s. No way in hell that happens today. You know, I'm not saying it's just to me, to anyone. Dude, could you imagine the comments that Major Nelson gets on a daily basis now? And they ain't positive. You know what I mean? So I'm sure his inbox was shut down a long time ago. All the comments and things that he gets on his blog are definitely filtered out before he even sees them, because 90% of it's just trash. And like I said, that's just the society that we live in. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that don't want to hear that, but I mean, it's reality. Like I said, just go on Twitter. Go on Twitter for 5 minutes and tell me I'm crazy.
By the way, Paris, I'm going to mention this to you. You guess what game it is. It could be a brand new major game coming out sometime in the future. But Rocksteady, you're a fan of Batman, right? Their yes. games from mm-hmm. back then.
Yeah.
All right. So they've been quiet for a while now. They're working on a project. Nobody knows what it is. Just a couple days ago, one of the developers, actually the marketing manager for Rocksteady, posted, "Be patient, fans. I know we're not talking right now, but when we do, people are going to lose their minds. Can't wait." And he put like a little smiley face. Your thoughts?
I think it may be something more Justice League related, like not just specifically Batman, but it's looking at more heroes in the DC universe, which I know there was a rumor about them doing Damian Wayne or something like that. I don't think they'll do that. I think it'll be something more mass appeal. And that's why they're saying, you know, it's going to blow people away. Maybe something involving Wonder Woman, Superman. I mean, who knows? But, you know, Rocksteady, while, you know, Arkham Knight on the PC may have been a disappointment to me, I think they went out pretty much on a high note, you know, Batmobile driving aside with that last title. So, I mean, I definitely look forward to whatever they do next. And they pretty much revitalized the superhero video game. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I personally think it's Superman. For some strange reason, I'm getting that vibe. This might be Superman. And honestly, there hasn't been no great Superman games. The worst one that always comes to my mind is Superman 64, which, Paris, I have to mention this story, man. I have to mention this. So back in the days when, man, we're talking a lot of like the early days of games.
Because we're old.
So anyways, we're old, I know. So I think it was like maybe in the 90s. I think. So I was very excited that Superman 64 was coming out. So I went to Blockbuster to go and rent this game. Cool cover. That had some cool graphics. Like, man, this game is going to be amazing. Nintendo 64. Yo, Zelda 64. WCW versus NWO 64. Like, everything 64 so far that I played has been amazing. I can't wait to play Superman 64. Dude, when I put this game on, man, and I'm flying around, I'm like, what in the world is this piece of trash, man? It was one of the worst games that I ever played in my life. Oh, like, yeah. God. I put it up there with E.T. for the Atari 2600. It's pretty up there. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was so bad, man. So bad. So you got the chance to play that game or no?
No, because everything of what you just said, I heard that it was so bad, I just never bothered.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so that was my horrible experience with Superman. So hopefully Rocksteady could come up with a cool announcement, maybe during the Video Game Awards or the PlayStation Experience. That's possible too.
I personally think a Superman game is very hard to do.
You think so?
It's the ultimate God complex problem. That's the problem with Superman overall. That's why Superman's a boring character, in my opinion, because he's God. There's literally only one thing that can hurt him. So the only way that you can affect Superman is to get him psychologically and or hurt the people that he loves. Superman himself is never truly in danger unless you pull out kryptonite. That's it. So to translate that into a full video game, I think is hard. And that's the problem that you see with the movies as well. It's hard to do Superman. The ultimate Boy Scout, the only thing that can hurt him is a green rock. You know? So I don't know. This is just, I mean, look, we need Justin. We need 6OK on here because he's the ultimate Superman expert. But
that's true.
You know,
that's true. Shout out to Justin.
But I think doing a Superman only video game would be hard. Now, to do, like I said, an overall DC game where you have multiple superheroes and you use Superman when needed, you know, in specific Superman hero type spots, I think that would work a lot better. Batman works because Batman is a regular dude just like us, right? versus going with someone that, like I said, is literally a god. I think that's hard to do.
I think it's possible. Maybe Rocksteady will come up with something cool and different, man. Who knows? Oh, we got to talk about this, Paris. Microsoft in talks to extend Battlegrounds exclusive deal. They need it big time. As of right now, they need that game big time. So imagine Battlegrounds coming out for the PlayStation, then why even bother to buy the Xbox version? There's way more people at PlayStation. So I think this is a smart business deal if they can extend this. Now, for how long? Could it be a year? Could be more?
I think a year. A year to me seems like the sweet spot for this because, you know, kind of like we talked offline, I think they want to lock down PUBG as a console exclusive for a full year before PlayStation gets their hands on it. And I think all this talk started up because Bluehole started talking to PlayStation and that, you know, they need something. This is just my personal opinion, but we'll see over the next 6 to 9 months. They need something to hold them until Halo 6 is ready. Until they're ready to talk about Halo 6 and show off Halo 6, they need something to justify people running out, buying Xbox One S's and X's and Scorpions and Crabs and Lobsters or whatever else you want to call it, right? But they got to still sell hardware, and they need software to push said hardware. And right now, PUBG is probably the most marketable thing that they could put on their platform that isn't a third-party title.
Yeah, and it will sell units like crazy. Once that game comes out. Now, they say it's coming out this holiday. There's still no date. Like, I think this game might be coming out in December, right after the holidays, you know, right after Black Friday, I mean. Have that game available. Everybody has a Xbox One X or just a Xbox One S. And, yo, go crazy with it, man. And buy it. I think they should definitely release this for the holidays, December. Not too late.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think we'll see the Xbox One X come out early November, obviously. There'll probably be a big push for it during Black Friday. And then I think we'll see probably that first or second week of December, we'll see PUBG come out for on Xbox.
Mm. Now, speaking of exclusive deals, so I was reading online that just yesterday, the exclusive content that was on PlayStation 4 of like the original Destiny game, it just literally just came out for the Xbox One just yesterday. And I was telling Paris, like, really? Like, 3 years later? I mean, I know that content is probably not a big of a deal. But damn, 3 years later? I can understand a year, a great exclusive. I get it. But 3 years, Paris? Why? Why even bother? Because said that there's two people still play that game, right?
So then why did you just ask me if you're going to tell me what I was going to say?
Oh, no, I'm just saying. But I'm saying why. You say PlayStation, but I'm saying how many people actually play on the Xbox One?
But that's why. That's what I just said. A lot of people on both platforms are still playing Destiny 1. I took a peek into the tower, full. Ton of people running around still playing the game. So the fact that there's still people most likely on the Xbox platform playing the original Destiny, you know, the contracts and all that are up. I mean, Bungie's obviously still supporting the game. So you take that content that was exclusive to PlayStation and they put it on Xbox. Look, obviously it's a year too late and it's kind of ridiculous that they would put it out now. But like I said, there's still people playing the game. So if there's still people on that platform playing, you might as well give them that exclusive content. Or not even exclusive now, but what was exclusive content, put it on Xbox.
You that played it for the PlayStation, was it a big cool content? Like, it was really big, the levels or the missions or strikes, or it was just okay in your opinion?
Some of the stuff was relevant on there, like Jade Rabbit as an example off the top of my head. I know that's something that people on Xbox never got a chance to use. So yeah, I mean there's stuff. I can't think of the names now, it's all a blur, but there was an exclusive strike that was pretty interesting as well. And then, you know, there's going to be a couple PvP maps too that people can play. Look, like I said, most people, you would think most people have moved on to Destiny 2, but it is always surprising, in my opinion, when you look at the numbers, how many people don't jump right away to sequels and they'll continue to play the previous game before they make the jump for an extended period. Like, I would imagine a year from now, you'll still see a decent population on Destiny 1, which it sounds surprising, but it wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, well, I think people either they're waiting for the PC version to come out, or they're just going to wait until the holidays, maybe a special during Black Friday. Probably that's when you're going to see a big jump. Or December, Christmas, when people start opening their gifts. I think that's possible too. A lot of new Destiny 2 fans. I mean, gamers and stuff, so.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of. I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Game on. Don't miss a second of NFL on CBS when you get to watch the New England Patriots versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston throws four touchdown passes and we win. With CBS All Access, subscribers can stream their local market games live and get full game day coverage on TV-connected devices and tablets from Thursday night football to Sunday doubleheaders. We have all your NFL on CBS excitement covered. CBS All Access subscribers can also stream other live events like special award shows, news, fall premieres like Star Trek Discovery, and more, and get access to over 9,000 current and classic episodes on demand. Start your free trial now at cbs.com/NFL.
We're going to go now with fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Paris, can you play the voicemail?
I'll play it right now.
All right, go for it.
Hey guys, this is Robert from Virginia Beach by way of Texas. I've been listening to you guys or see you guys for a long time. I got plenty of material to talk about, so to try to keep this voicemail not 30 minutes long, I think I'm just going to open up with what video games mean to me and my wife as a person, and then what your podcast, I guess, means to us. So, my wife and I are longtime gamers. I think my wife's my first system was the NES and then Super NES. And then I had the Nintendo 64 and then all the way up. My next, I always, you know, I didn't grow up with that much money, so I would play at other friends' house. You know, Sega Genesis, the PlayStations, college with Xbox, all the way up to the current systems. And, you know, we have, all three, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, I say all three, like the big three. The system that we most play on is PS4. The big thing was Destiny, now Destiny 2. And it kind of gets segues into, you know, what video games, you know, mean for us. Last year, my wife was diagnosed with stage 4, triple negative metastatic breast cancer. And for those of you guys that don't know, that's incurable. So needless to say, we've had a lot of treatments, a lot of days in the hospital, and through all the medications that, you know, do work, don't work, you know, my wife has been sick or, you know, nauseated or severe pain. A lot of times, video games are kind of the only thing to take us away, you know, from that. And you know, when you're maxed out on pain medication or nausea medication, sometimes a good way is just to engage your brain in other activities. And, for us, that was, you know, destiny. I remember plenty of times during the Taken King and Ride the Iron where I would bring two PlayStation set up in a Pelican box with a, you know, extra screens into the hospital, and I'd set it up and we'd play off, you know, cell phone internet. Just because that's, you know, one of the few games that engaged, you know, us both and put us with our community that we're in and, you know, really, you know, for lack of a better word, just with kind of, you know, best medicine. You know, in addition to that, you know, we also do extreme amount of traveling. So even though we're avid gamers, a lot of times we don't have the time to play games. Because we're, you know, trying to travel and do bucket list stuff, while, you know, she's healthy enough to travel. So that's, you know, kind of our, you know, background and what kind of gamers my wife and myself are and what they mean to us. And, this voicemail, I was going to let you guys know, you know, what your podcast, you know, means to me and my wife too. I feel bad because I've been listening to you guys for a long time and I feel like I have a lot of material to contribute. And the reason I feel bad is because, you know, I haven't called in, haven't sent any emails and stuff. And I want that to come across as how powerful of a podcast you guys are. Because I do listen to other podcasts and I don't necessarily feel bad if I don't call in and leave them a message. So that's the kind of community element, the family element, the engagement element that you guys bring to the table. I really appreciate that. You know, every time you guys have a conversation, it literally sounds an extension of the conversation I have, you know, with me and my friends or the arguments I have or, you know, the new games, new systems, the back and forth. So I think you guys do an incredible job, you know, relaying that. I like that you have topics to talk about, but a lot of times you go off script, so it's very organic and genuine. And so it's a blast to listen to your podcast. That's, you know, pretty much all I had to say about that. I'll probably leave a ton of other voicemails, specifically about other games or topics that you talk about. But I just want to let you guys know that you do a great job with your podcast. Thank you.
Okay, all done.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool, man. Thanks, Rob, and yeah, it's that's what I always say, man, the power of video games, man. Power of video games. It could get brings family together, brings friends together. In this situation, what's going on with your wife too. You know, that's a moment that you're never gonna forget. When you're there playing together, you know, like a game like Destiny, you know, in the hospital using his phone to play online. For little things like that. And he even mentioned too that they have a Nintendo Switch. And by the way, he said that he agrees with you, Paris, about releasing all those old games from the Super NES and NES on to the Switch. He said he agrees with you. But look, they travel a lot. They've been spending a lot of time together and they've been traveling and also using the Nintendo Switch while they go to like different places and stuff, you know? So it means a lot that you called and said that to us because, you know, sometimes we release a lot of material, a lot of content on the show and we see our numbers grow, right? But sometimes we don't get voicemails or we don't get emails from people. Sometimes a lot of people are probably too shy to call to do a voicemail or they're just too shy to just email us, but they listen to the show. They don't use social media. None of that. And there's a lot of people that are like that listens to the show. So I just want to say thank you so much for sending that. And at the same time, it's like the podcast, you never know who's listening. You never know who's listening. So that's a perfect example right there, man. You know, and I hope you guys still continue travel and enjoy your bucket list. Go to different places, man. And I want you guys to never forget that, man. Because, you know, family come first, man, than anything, man.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, and again, Rob, thank you so much for sending that voicemail. He's actually on our Twitch chat tonight. Yeah, the thing about it is, that's why I was hesitant to want to play this because I wanted Pete to be involved in this too.
Okay.
But like, it's like everything you said. I mean, when you think about our audience, 5% of it, if we're lucky, probably actually sends in comments of it versus the people that actually listen. So it's always great to hear a new voice on here. And, you know, you never know who's listening. You never know what you say, how it impacts someone that does listen. I don't know. You know, most people on here think I'm this angry old person. Maybe some people on here don't think that way, or people hear you and they hear how the banter we have back and forth, joking around all the time, stuff like that. I mean, you never know how that's going to affect someone. You never know how we may be helping them get through their day. Because, look, we all have real lives. We all have real world problems. And sometimes it's those little things that helps you get through it, you know? You know, like we said, video games overall, we've all come together on this podcast and through social media and Twitch and all these other things because we all have the common thing of video games together, you know, and it is a great. That's why I was talking earlier about all the toxic stuff that happens in social media. That's the bad. But here's an example of the good. You know what I mean? And, you know, we have to acknowledge that and we have to embrace it because this is the type of stuff that makes me want to keep coming back and doing this because, you know, look, I'm a nobody. We just do a little silly podcast. But, you know, if I can help anybody in any way because of what we do or what we say, then, you know, that means I'm doing something right in this world. You know, even though we are in the Matrix and it's all, you know, controlled, Neo will save us all one day. Right. But, you know, thank you, Rob, for sending this in. And, yeah, honestly, I hope to hear from more people. I mean, we know there's a ton of people out there that listen. Like Danny said, maybe too shy to send an email or voicemail or whatever, or join us in a Twitch chat. But, you know, don't be shy. Definitely don't be shy. You know, let us know what you think, whether you agree with us, disagree with us, happy with us, upset with us. We want to hear from everybody.
Definitely, man. And yeah, our thoughts are with you and the family, man. So keep it positive, man. And enjoy it, man. All right, so we have another fan mail here. This is from Chubby Wubby. This is posted to the Discord, our fan mail section. He said, he asked two questions. I'm going to only read the one for you, Paris. All right? He says, Paris, are you going to still stick to the PlayStation community for Destiny 2 after release for the PC? Thank you for thank you so much for your time and consideration to ask my questions if you get around to them. So he just wants to know, are you still going to stick with PlayStation once the PC version comes out?
Yes, and main reason because of my son. I want to play with my son, so that's the ultimate thing. We both have PlayStation, so that's all the incentive I need. But even if my son wasn't in the picture, I would still play on PlayStation 4 because a lot of people in my clan, a lot of friends that I play with, they're on PlayStation 4 as well. Honestly, the PC is, you know, while I will be getting it and I will be playing it, it's interesting because I don't have friends on the PC when it comes to Destiny 2. I have a few people, but nowhere near the amount that I have, you know, on PlayStation 4. So PC is going to be kind of new and interesting to me on how that's going to work out. So, I mean, I guess the real question is, will I continuously play on PC more so than will I continue to play on PS4? I mean, we'll see on October 24th and into the future. I definitely will want to go through the raid and, you know, do some of the in-game stuff on the PC just to say I did it. But after that, it's really going to depend on how many people I meet in the PC community if I continue to play on that version. You know, that's just being bluntly honest. Because, look, there's way too many freaking games out here right now for me to be double dipping on one game and committing all that time to it. So, you know, we'll see how it works out going through this holiday.
Yeah, and especially for the past few days, people have been hitting up like, hey, Dan, let's play some Destiny. And, you know, my focus has been, let me try some new games, man. Just today, actually yesterday, I got a new game for the Xbox One. It's available for PlayStation 4 and also for PC. Came out for the PC first. It's called The Hunter, Call of the Wild. Paris, it's about you hunting. There's deers, there's bears, foxes. I got super into this game, man. I was playing for 2 hours streaming it on Twitch, and I've been having a blast. You know, I'll try that. I've been playing also Forza Motorsport 7 and also Cuphead and so on. And there's going to be more games coming out. You know, just now, I just downloaded Golf Story for the Nintendo Switch. I'm going to play that while I travel to the West Coast this weekend. So I'm going to do that. And yeah, the end of October, it's going to be even crazier. South Park, Assassin's Creed, Wolfenstein, and so on. I might even build a PC. Who knows? Between October and November, I might get a PC. You never know. That's more games right there, you know? So yeah, it's hard to just focus on just one game right now, especially nowadays during the holidays, man. But I do want to mention this. For those that have Destiny 2 and they would like to join our Gamertag Radio clan, we have two clans now. The first one is already full, completely full. We're only allowed to have, I think, 100 members. But join the second one. I just created this a couple days ago. Gamertag Radio 2, the number 2, Gamertag Radio. Find us and join the clan. It's open. There's no request. You could just join. And right now we have like 6 people because a lot of people have been hitting me up and they just wanted to join. They wanted to be part of the community. So this is your opportunity. Doesn't matter if you have a PlayStation 4, Xbox, or PC, you could join our clan and play with others. And I've been having a blast. I've been playing a lot with our community, doing Nightfall, Crucible, Trials, and so on. So yeah, find us. I'll go to Bungie.net and just search Gamertag Radio 2. All right. Also, I want to mention this. We have a great discussion always with our Gamertag Radio community and Discord. Go over there now and you could join. Have a great conversation with everybody. It doesn't matter if you have a PC, Mac, mobile phones. You could download. This is a free app. And it's called Discord. Look it up. And if you can, go to this website, discord.gg/GTR. That discord.gg/GTR. Go right now. We have like over 340 members. And we have great conversation about everything. Sports, fitness, video games, movies, everything, man. And also, they play, like P plays PUBG. That's what he uses to have like voice chat with other GTR members, man, you know. And especially if you have the Nintendo Switch, I think this is like a perfect thing too. This is much better than the Nintendo Online app. So you could play some Mario Kart, have a conversation with other GTR members, man. So make sure to join. So anything else, Paris? Is there any other thing?
Yes.
That
you can yes. talk about? Yes, because I'm going to answer a question that was sent to me on Twitter because okay. it's relevant to the podcast. So I even responded to him and said, I'm answering this on the podcast. So JD Murchie, you need to listen to this on Gamertag Radio. So if you're hearing this, obviously you are. But he asked me, he goes, hey, Vicious696. Could you give me some advice? I just pre-ordered my Xbox One X, congratulations, but not bought a 4K TV yet. Can you recommend a 4K monitor to buy or should I buy a TV? So here's how I answer this. If you are playing this obviously in your living room or something like that, or just like a dedicated game room, get a TV. Look, if you got the coin, go get an OLED. Go get one of those LG OLEDs. That's what I would recommend right away. But then obviously look at some of the offerings from Samsung or look at even some of the other offerings from like LG or something like that. Honestly, it just depends on your budget, size of the television that you're looking to get. Now, if you're gaming like I am in an office setting where I'm literally right in front of the screen, go get a monitor. Like I said, I game right now on a 28-inch Samsung 4K monitor. No issues at all. I'm actually thinking about expanding that. Like I said, I'm looking at getting an ultra wide, but that's another conversation for another day. But for the Xbox One X, I almost feel like to get the true capabilities of it, you're probably gonna want to play this in like a dedicated game room or living room. So I would recommend get a TV, get at least 55-inch one. Like I said, if you got the disposable income, look at one of the higher-end ones from Samsung or LG, like even more, or even Sony, like I said, and look at like an OLED or something like that. But that's going to be a lot of coin. But congrats on getting an Xbox One X. I'm sure you're really going to enjoy it. If this is your first experience into 4K gaming, you're not going to want to go back for sure, which, by the way, that's exactly what Microsoft is banking on, that people will get to experience 4K gaming, see the appeal of it, and then they're just going to go all in. That's why, Danny, when you get yours in November, I'm telling you, you're going to be all in. You can push all the chips to the middle of the table. You're not going to want to go back. I promise you that.
All right. Right? And I was having a conversation with that with people that were watching me when I was streaming live while playing some different Xbox games. I was saying, I don't know what I'm going to play first. You know, I already played Project Gotham. Why always say that? Forza 7, 4K. I played Assassin's Creed 4K. I played Shadow of War in 4K. But the thing that I really want to see, like how it is, it's like games like Gears of War. That game, The Witcher. I'm curious to see how it looks in 4K. Because you guys have been talking about this for the longest. That it looks beautiful.
Yo, there's no way I could not play the Witcher in 4K. I can't go backwards. I mean, like I said, I'm looking at getting an ultra wide, you know, at 1440p. But, you know, with G-Sync and all that, that's close enough to 4K to where I probably would feel like, oh, okay, that's good enough. I mean, because, you know, my horizontal or my vertical is at the same, you know, spec as 4K, but, you know, the opposite at 1440. But anyways, that's playing an ultra wide. That's actually a different experience. But if I'm just playing on a regular 16:9 screen, got to be 4K. I'm a snob that way at this point. I'm not going back, you know? So trust me. I'm actually glad you brought up The Witcher 3. So you know Danny O'Dwyer, right? He used to be at GameSpot, and now he went basically independent, and he has a YouTube channel. I think it's called No Clip, I believe it is.
Yeah, he does like a documentary series, right?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. I just started watching it. He's doing this whole documentary series on CD Projekt Red, just the history behind CD Projekt Red. He's looking at The Witcher 1 and 2, and then even looking at The Witcher 3 and all that. And it's like it's in part. So I haven't watched The Witcher 1 and 2 yet. And I think Witcher 3 part comes out tomorrow or the day after, something like that. But so far, it's fantastic. Just the history of that company and everything. And then obviously, we know Cyberpunk is coming from those guys probably in the next couple of years. But Danny, I'm telling you, with that Xbox One X, when CD Projekt Red puts out that 4K patch and for Scorpion, for Witcher 3, go play it. Please, please. For me.
Oh, no, that's the plan. That's the plan.
Yeah, that's please, the plan, just go play. Because, you know, like I said, I have no time as it is between family life, real job, obviously doing the podcast and all this. I don't have enough time as it is to be playing video games, and I still want to try and figure out a way to go through The Witcher 3 for a fifth time. I feel like I want to do it again, but really I shouldn't, because there's just so many games coming out and I don't have the time. But I'm going to figure it out somehow, some way. Within the next 12 months, I'm going to play The Witcher 3 again for a fifth time from start to finish.
Have you seen the list of the games that they're planning to get an update?
I've seen it. I haven't paid too much attention to it because I don't own an Xbox, so it doesn't really affect me. But, I mean, I know, obviously, like I said, Witcher 3 is at the top of that list, which, you know, for console gamers to be able to get it close or near to what I see right now on the PC, I mean, it's going to be stunning. You guys are going to freaking love it, I'm telling you.
I'm excited to see how Doom looks. Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
Far Cry 5. That's next year. For Honor, okay. Forza Horizon 3, which one of my favorite racing games of all time. Pretty up there. I can't wait to check out how that looks. Now, they also have Halo 5 Guardians part of this list. Mm-hmm. 4K. I'm very curious to see how that's going to look. Let's see what other ones. I'm looking over here. Well, the Minecraft update looks pretty awesome. Now, I have to say this. I'm going to wait until the official game comes out, but I wasn't not too impressed with the look of Shadow of War, man, because that was like supposedly 4K, the one that we were playing. Maybe it was a build.
Well, let's be real here. We played Shadow of War on an Xbox One X at PAX at the Taco Bell event. I'm just being blunt. And, you know, hey, people over at WB, you know who you are. I love you. But I wasn't that impressed with it. I just wasn't. It didn't blow me away. I didn't go, this is true 4K gaming and this is the next step. It didn't grab me in that way. It's definitely not going to be a showcase game for what Microsoft is going to try and show off with Xbox One X. Like you said, I'm very curious to see what Halo 5 is going to look at. I can tell you already, Gears of War 4 will be a showcase title on Xbox One X, because it already is on the PC at 4K. So I know it'll be the same when it comes out on Xbox One X. Like you said, Tomb Raider is going to be a big one for them. I mean, it goes without saying Forza 7 is just going to be stunning. in 4K on Xbox One X. And like I said, I really hope Witcher 3 becomes that showcase as well, because it deserves it. And I'll say it for the 10 millionth time, it is still the best game. And what are we, 4 years now? 4 years later, it is still the best game to come out this generation. Nothing comes close. And that includes my freaking love affair with Destiny. Does not come close to Witcher 3. If they were both hanging off a cliff and I could only save one, bye Destiny, you dead. I'm taking what you want.
I don't want people to get confused. We're not talking about gameplay, because I truly like Shadow of War. I'm talking about 4K enhanced. I'm talking about the
visuals.
Look.
Yeah, visuals.
Visuals. Yeah, visuals.
Yeah.
I don't want people to get confused and stuff. Right. Now, Titanfall 2, Paris. I'm curious about that. Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Ghost Recon will look decent, but again, not a showcase thing. Titanfall will be interesting. I didn't play Titanfall 2 on the PC. I played it on PS4 Pro. In 4K, and it looked pretty good. I do remember the original Titanfall on PC in 4K looked damn good. So I imagine Titanfall 2 looked damn good on PC as well. So that'd be another one.
Rocket League in 4K.
Yeah, it's on PC now. I mean, I've played it in 4K now. I mean, but it's Rocket League. That's not a showcase thing.
By the way,
before you get into that, because literally it's on the screen. I'm looking at it in 4K right now. Cuphead is nice in 4K.
Wait, that's 4K?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, it's downscale, Danny. You ain't here. You can't see it in 4K.
I don't know. It looks normal to me, so I don't know.
No, because I have two monitors. So on the monitor where I have Cuphead going, it's in 4K right now.
So one more game here. Let's see. Sea of Thieves, Paris. How did that look in 4K? Because you play in the Xbox One X, right? During E3?
Again, it wasn't something that blew me away. I was more excited about Sea of Thieves from playing it, the actual gameplay of it. But I didn't look at it at that Xbox event and go, oh, my God, these visuals are super amazing. The game that stood out to me at that event that we played in 4K was Forza 7. I was like, oh, OK, I get it. Whereas no, Sea of Thieves didn't stand out to me like that. I actually Crackdown 3, same. It didn't really stand out that much to me, you know, but we'll see.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see in November. See.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Head over to GamerTagWarrior.com, or you could also find us in different podcast directories. You could go to Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Just search, subscribe, follow us, spread the word. And yeah, you're supporting GTR, man, by spreading the word to others. Now, you can also watch us live on Twitch every Wednesday nights or Sunday morning. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. And you can watch us there live. And if you follow us, you will get notifications if we're live. We're streaming all these new games that's coming out. Paris might be getting a game soon. I'll be getting one. Pete too. You never know. Just follow us, and it will help you out to check out these games before you purchase it, man. So highly recommend to do that.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Paris, is there anything from you?
No. Again, just thank you everybody that's listening. We're about to enter silly season, folks, because there are so many games that are about to come out right now. I mean, you know, we've talked about enough of them that I know I'm super excited about. I know some games Danny are super excited about. And like I said, I just don't have I don't know where I'm going to find the time. There's just going to be a lot of sleepless nights because, like I said, there's just so many games that are coming out to play. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, especially the end of October. Mario Odyssey. Paris. Oh,
you know,
my God.
And you know what's
demo.
Funny?
That's a demo out now. Yeah.
And you know what's funny? You were just saying Mario Odyssey. I wasn't even thinking about that when I was talking about all the games. My God, there's just so many. There's so many. Now you said there's a demo.
Yeah, Best Buy.
Oh.
You go to your local Best Buy, you could play the desert level.
I'm not doing that.
Of the game. Why not?
I'm not doing that. I might catch the flu or something touching the
control. Oh, my God. Yo, just go in there with something in your hand. Wash your hands up. Yeah. Play it, man.
I know. I just come in there and I just Lysol all over everywhere. I'm looking forward to it.
We went to an event. I got scared, man. Like PAX, I was like, oh, man, I think I'm going to get sick, man. Dude, I was shaking hands, saying what's up to everybody. Yeah, parties. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know what? I got to knock on wood because I know this is going to bite me for saying this. Knock on wood. Got through E3 and PAX. Nothing. I was 100% healthy.
Oh. All right. Well, you're going to TwitchCon, aren't you?
Actually, I'm not. I guess I might as well tell you live on the air. I'm not going to go to TwitchCon because we're going camping.
Family time.
Yeah, family first. Yeah, we're going camping.
Yeah, yeah.
And I won't be on, I'll be on this Sunday's episode, but I won't be on next Sunday's episode because I will be in Arizona to watch my Tampa Bay Buccaneers with my son. So really looking forward to that.
That's awesome. How that works? You just go like 1 day trip and come back, or it's like a couple days? Or?
No, we do overnight. Like I'll drive up Saturday afternoon. We'll hang out in Phoenix and then go to the game Sunday. And then right after the game, I'll just drive back home. It's only from my house to Phoenix is about 4.5 hours. It's not that bad.
That's cool. Well, tell your son to take his Nintendo Switch, play it during the drive.
Hey, hey, that is my Nintendo Switch. That is not his.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.